Get ready.
お前はもう死んでいる。
北斗百裂拳。
Started recording.
Oh, okay. Hi. Welcome to the Cybernauts podcast. Tonight we're reviewing episodes, I think, 37 through 57 of Fist of the North Star.
When we did our first review of this, like last year, I think we made it to like episode 40. So I guess maybe 40, 41-ish till episode 57.
We reviewed all the episodes that had been dubbed, I think.
I think I might have I can't really remember, but I remember briefly mentioning the second arc we were still in the second arc anyways.
Well, yeah. it doesn't hurt to remind them, because this is like a different podcast now, you know?
I don't know. I'll post up the old link from our other stuff to this, so people know what we're talking about. But I'm pretty sure we ended it when Ken and Mamiya and Ray go to Cassandra to get Toki out of the Cassandra prison.
Okay. Yeah,
I think that's where we stopped last time.
Yeah, I'm looking at Wikipedia now. It's about where we stopped. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got all the episode titles in front of me, so I kind of know what's going on.
This is a little off topic, but Cartoon Planet didn't air tonight, right?
Yeah, it's officially canceled.
Okay. That's too bad. Mm. Oh well.
I guess people who have cable or digital TV can get their Dexter fixes with Boomerang, whereas people who do not will have to resort to the internet or 10-box videos.
See, even if I had digital cable, my cable provider doesn't have Boomerang, so...
Neither does mine, yeah.
You have to pay, extra with DirecTV to get Boomerang.
Yeah, you either have to have, DirecTV or Time Warner.
Yeah, so. I think Dish might have it, too, but I'm not sure.
I think my family uses Dish.
Yeah.
Don't mind the smack, I'm eating beef jerky.
Okay.
My goal recording was I had a bottle of sake in the fridge. I'm trying to gradually go through my alcohol. Sake's the last thing I got. I've got Diet A&W root beer because I was going to mix the two together. I've had the sake bottle in the freezer for about a week. That sucker's complete ice. I didn't think it was going to freeze like that. So it's in the fridge now thawing out, which might be thawed up by tomorrow.
Do they still have sake in Fist of the North Star, or has that been destroyed in the apocalypse?
I guess there's still some alcohol in this. Some of the gang members, they pretend to be drunk, and you look at them and you're like, oh, they're drunk because their dicks are red. I don't know if that means anything, or maybe alcohol is still a substance that can be made in any time period, post or pre-apocalypse.
Could be.
Which is pretty nice.
I mean, I don't know how they would get the grapes to ferment alcohol, you know? since there's hardly any water and stuff, right? I mean...
Well, I mean, if there is water, it's radioactive, the same as the grapes, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that their alcohol has probably got radiation poisoning in it or something, and so they get extra drunk.
Well, I mean, it's the post-apocalypse. I mean, you're going to die anyways. You might as well die drunk.
Yeah, I guess so. Helps you forget that it's post-apocalypse.
It's either die drunk, die hungry, or die by Ken.
Yeah.
It's only those three options.
Yeah, I think I might prefer alcohol to being hit like 1,000 times and all the pressure points and everything.
Well, then again, if you're hit by Toki, then you're going to get to die peacefully. Orgasmically, maybe.
Hmm.
The way I take it. But, well,
I think no, CG Josh would like that, but I don't want to die.
Yeah. Shut yeah up. Josh, you want to get us started off with, I guess, the last thing I remember was, I think, episode 40, when Ken challenges Uyghur, the warden of Cassandra.
Okay, it has been a while since I've seen these episodes, but when they were fighting Uyghur, wasn't there like those two twin like guys broke out of the prison? And,
like, yeah, that was Rhaega and Fuga, who were the gatekeepers of the prison. And then Ken shows up, and they're like, "You're so awesome, Ken. I don't want to fight you. Let's be friends." And Ken's like, "Cool." And that's pretty much how it went down. And then Uyghur comes out, and he's just like, "You know, how dare you come up to my prison and trying to get your brother out?" Which I think at the time they knew, like, people were like trying to hold or find any way to stop Ken from reuniting with Toki. And yeah, because they're all like working with that. Like, you've got the prison guards, and I think Rao's army or his special forces show up. I think during the prison break, which actually at the same time when Toki breaks out of the prison, they actually deactivate or destroy the prison, so it comes off in like huge sections.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I vaguely remember something like that.
I think there was some of the death scenes in that which I thought was pretty ridiculous. Like, I remember there was some really like, oh, I was like, wait, what? Or like, oh my gosh, kind of deaths. From like, I guess like the walls collapsing on people, or like, I think a bunch of people were trying to hold up like a wall so like people can get out of the prison that were like one of the prison guard or the prison people. Or it might have been the twins that actually held up like one of the boulders of like the gate or something to let Toki and Ken and them free.
Oh yeah, I think like they were holding it up and like they died while holding it, but they like
psst. That was it.
What did you say?
He said that was it.
Oh yeah.
No, you were saying something. You kind of broke out or broke up.
No, I didn't. Let's see. Oh yeah, like episode 41 was a clip show. I think it was like it was really oddly placed because it was like in the middle of all this. Bat and Lynn decide to just start talking about like what they've done recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. They all these clip shows in this show are like really oddly placed. They just come up randomly.
I guess I don't know if it was there for like the animation staff to take like a 6 extra hour break of sleep. They get like, oh, you guys get a vacation. You get another 6 more hours of sleep this week. We're gonna add in a recap episode. They're like, yeah.
I remember in Gundam Seed Destiny, there were like 5 clip shows in like the last 20 episodes or something ridiculous like that. Where I think they just like didn't want to work that week, and so they just said, let's just do another clip show. You know, like that's what clip shows are for in anime.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just their vacation week or something. I mean, that's a good way to, you know, that's a good way. Just another good way to put an episode in. But I mean, there's quite a bit of clip shows in this that kind of recap with people because this is a long series. I mean, we're not even counting in the Fist and North Star. And like, I'm pretty much where I'm at in the series right now is like episode 77, which is right at the end of the third arc. And so, like, for the next 4 episodes before the third arc starts, it's going to be, like, 4 or 5 episodes of nothing but recaps of the past 2 or 3 arcs.
Your quality suddenly became terrible.
It did.
Oh, no, it's better. I don't know what happened.
Oh.
Now, let's see. They finally get to rescuing Toki. And one thing I've got to say about Toki, he is the Kung Fu Jesus of the series.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that whole, like, Jesus goatee, like, rags look. Like, he's got that that healing touch. And I've got to be honest, though, when they first introduced Toki, mm-hmm. Now, we had already dealt with, what was his name? Like, it was Jaggy.
Yeah, Jaggy.
Yeah, and I had already read about Rao, so it was like, okay, so Jaggy's evil, Rao's evil, Toki's got to be evil, right? No, he's good. So it's like that was a surprise to me, because it was like I thought this guy was suspicious at first, but no, he's all right.
That's funny that you mentioned the Jesus thing, because just yesterday in the chat, I mentioned that some random guy on campus walked up to me and said, "You look like Jesus," and then Zionic said in the chat, or Toki, you know, so we just got the Toki.
Yeah. You're like, wait, Toki Wartooth? I'm like, no, the other Toki.
Yeah, that was my thought.
The good kind of Toki, the non-metal Toki, because I don't know if, other than the theme songs to this show, there's really not a lot of metal in this universe. But metal obviously can exist.
Yeah, even the ending theme song is very non-metal, you know, the one with the waterfall and stuff. It's very...
Yeah, the power, kind of a sad love thing power ballad at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. A lot of the thug 80s metal look to them.
So they pretty much break Toki out of prison, which really Toki could have broken out of prison already. So, like, it really, because, like, once Ken meets with him, like, in the prison cell, like, they're trying to kill him with their swords, and he grabs the sword with his fingers and then, like, hits the pressure. And then Ken's just like, I didn't really break you out. He's like, he's probably like, nah, but, you know, nice break. I need a vacation from healing people.
Your thing is kind of breaking out again.
Like, did you get anything that I said, or just...
Like, every other word.
About half of it, yeah. Well, it's okay now, so maybe we'll get lucky.
Yeah.
This is classic podcast.
Yeah, every week we gotta have audio problems.
You guys are kind of breaking up on your end, but I don't know if it's the internet or my desktop computer that's doing it. Probably not, but...
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Skype or someone's connection, or who knows.
But... Yeah, so after the Cassandra prison, pretty much Toki explains, or he reveals that, like, that apparently what's going on now is that there's a person that's conquering the worlds, or the world that they're in, who goes by the name of Kenno. And Toki reveals that it's none other than the last Hokuto brother, which is Rao.
And also, I'm looking at the episode titles here. I think around that time, it has been a while. Yeah, Ray and Mamiya both see the Death Omen Star.
Right. Well, I thought Toki and Ray could see it, because Mamiya...
I think Toki could also see it.
Yeah, because I think Ray saw it first before Toki. But, after the prison, after they leave from the prison, they head back to Mommy's village, which, by the time they get there, Kenno's army has taken over the village that they're in, and, of course, like, they do some more, like, something more, which, like, was they land up on that, like, hot pit of coals, and just like, no, I'll never do that. And then they had a dramatic pose of, like, I'm like, oh my god, is she really gonna walk on that?
Yeah. It's like... And then Ray Johnson kills half of Rao's guys there, and like she faints in his arms. And
I'm gonna say someone else should host the call, because we're having like it's not coming through very well at all on this end.
Right.
Zionic, do you want to try hosting it, or should Josh? Or okay,
Justin.
Is this any better?
How do we sound?
Not much better, but it's gonna have to do.
Yeah, we got our good days and bad days on internet connection. I closed BitTorrent. Maybe that had something to do with it.
Most of them are bad.
We're at the part where Ray jumps in and starts, like, cacowing, like, 150 million of Kenno's army to save the village.
And then Lin faints in his arms, and he's like, oh, how could they do this to a poor girl?
Yeah. No, like I can't remember if it was at this point that, or I think it might be because like once Ray's, like Ray's sister's been in the village the whole time.
Yeah.
And pretty much at that point, like she's able to fend for herself. Or I'm not sure if that comes at this point.
Yeah, I think it does. Like,
okay.
Like, he sees her fighting off the, like, thugs, and he's like, she couldn't, when I last saw her, she couldn't even defend herself. She couldn't stand up to anyone. She was just a doll. And now she can kick butt.
Yeah, now she's got some teeth to bite back on. But also at this point, Kano's there in the town. And I think Ken went to go do something, or he's away from the town for the time being. I think him and Toki, because Ray's there first. And so Ray's able to challenge Rao first, which kind of goes okay until
he hits that pressure point.
Yeah, the pressure point in his chest, which I think we had explained Rao a little bit. Rao was like the biggest dude, one of the biggest dudes in this show regarding the brothers. He's obviously hugely burly and muscular.
And he has a huge ass horse.
Oh yeah, I call it the Kokuo. Or he calls it Kokuo. Like, the horse has got to be like 3 stories tall.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of this horse, I once saw like this figurine of Rao and his horse. Mm-hmm. And that thing was like, it was like in scale with these other Fist of the North Star figures. This thing was like 4 feet tall. Whoa. It was huge.
Where did you see this thing?
I saw it on, it was on some, like, I don't know, like, collector's site.
Wait.
Oh, you didn't see it in person?
Oh, go ahead.
You didn't see it in person, though?
No, I didn't.
I was gonna say, so, like, was the figure itself 4 feet tall, or was, like, to the scale of it? Like, if you were to look at it at scale, would the horse be 4 feet tall?
I mean, the thing was literally, like, 3 or 4 feet tall.
The what action is, figure, okay.
Yeah, the figure.
What is the size of, like, a real horse? Would it be, like, as big as a real horse?
A real horse is about, like, if it's on all four hooves, it's about maybe 7 feet, depending on the breed. Like, it's
oh my god. This is no better at all.
What?
This might even be worse than earlier. Say it again from 7 feet tall on.
I was saying horses go for about 7 feet tall, I would say.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but I don't know if like it was a certain kind of breed of horse that get mixed in with radiation that made it grow so much bigger. Could be too.
I don't know. We'd have to consult some bronies about like horse details. Nothing since then has come through.
I can hear you just fine.
Really? Could you hear Josh when he was talking?
What, Josh talking?
Yeah, like a minute ago when Josh was talking.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it might be my computer or something. Maybe I should restart the Wi-Fi or something.
Okay, yeah, do that and see if that helps. And just pause. Oh, now.
It was trying to start a new call for some reason. I could hear you, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know
so
how long
we're talking
it'll last.
About horses and pony brain.
Big Mac.
I think it's because my dad is torrenting right now.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Butthole.
Okay, so.
I think we're going to be good.
Yeah, I think we talked about horses enough.
But I was going to say, like, I like the. Are you recording again?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, like, I would like to know the breed of the horse, because I know there's certain breeds of horses regarding in size and everything, so.
This thing has got to be, like, soaked in radiation.
And we mistreat the villagers there. And his horse pretty much stomps this one guy so, like, so hard that it bends his back backwards. And the guy's apologizing, like, Lord Kano, please forgive me. And so everyone bows before Ken, and his horse just walks on all of them. And all you get to hear is the cries of all his soldiers, and you see blood spurt up everywhere, and he just keeps casually walking on. It's so great. And he just strolls through the town. There's like 80 bodies behind him that his horse just stomped on.
Wait, is it like killing them?
Yeah, it's killing them. Like, his horse is stomping on all his servants that used to serve him.
Wow.
But which, like, pretty much with this, with the battle, like, I'm trying to think, like, what caused... I think, like, once Ken showed up, like, Growl actually got off his horse. Because he knew that, like, the horse can fight as well as he could, supposedly.
Well, Ian, Rao also had that thing where it was, like... He sort of had, like, an aura force field around him with his fighting spirit.
Oh,
that,
right.
Like, that would, like, manifest into a bunch of, like, fists.
Okay. No, like, I remember Ken showed up, and then the horse got spooked, and he's like, whoa, Felicity. Oh. I mean, Kokuo. He's like, you spooked my horse. And then I know this battle is really, really going to happen now. There's no more playing around. So, like, at this time, like, well, Toki goes to battle him, actually. Which, really, like, the battle with this is, like, 3 or 4 episodes, and it could have just been summed up in 2. It was dragged on longer than what it should have.
Now, around this point, I think it was around this point, there's, like, this one episode that really stood out to me, because, like, the animation was completely different.
Yes, that
than,
was...
like, any other episode.
Yeah, that was the last episode of the battle.
Ah.
It was, like, OVA quality animation. It looked fantastic compared to the rest of the show. Like, there's actual, like, 4 different shades of, like, color hues and differentiations and light. And, like, the characters look completely different. It looked a lot sharper.
Yeah.
And, like, because... it's obvious that they gave that animation to another company or outsourced that episode so it looked really good, and which it did. Like, because they had the whole animation of, like, Rao shooting some, like, beams or something, but he's, like, breaking the rock, and then Ken's avoiding it as he's running towards them. And it is, like, it's like, again, it's OVA quality. It's really sharp looking.
Do we know, like, if some different studio did it, or, like, what the name of the studio is?
I want to say another studio did it. I'd probably have to consult the information gurus of Anime News Network and see which animation studio did what episodes.
Do we know what episode the number it is?
I'm pretty sure it's 57.
No, I think it was around 47, 48.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, let me look up, because no, I think 49 was the last episode that had the battle.
Oh, yeah, so maybe.
That had to been it. Yeah, that was the title of that episode is The Great Battle in History, Rao versus Ken. You're the one to die.
Huh. So they did it on, like, one of the big battle episodes?
Yeah. I did it, yeah, but before we get to that episode, like, apparently, yeah, like, Toki is able to paralyze Ken with a pressure point because he doesn't want him to fight Rao just yet. But at the same time, like, you've got Ray in pain, and then, like, Mamiya's, like, I think she's, like, next to the Toki, or they're talking or something, or, like, she's over there comforting Ray because he just got, you know, slammed down by Rao. And then, like, Mamiya was about to get killed. No, I think it was, like, Mamiya was, like, about to say something, and Rao was going to kill her, and then Ray steps in, and before Ray takes... on a blow, like, Ken is able to break Toki's pressure point technique to paralyze him, and he winds up blocking the attack. And then apparently Toki's like, okay, well, if you took out that, then you deserve to fight Rao now. And it is, like, a great, long, like, drug-out fist-to-fist battle, which results in both of them getting injured, but Rao got the better part or the worst part of that fight because, like, he literally, like, is, for the rest of the series up until, like, where I watched, like, he's really unable to battle because he's still recovering from his wounds. Like, Ken did a number on him.
And he just, like, I think, like, at the end of that battle, he just, like, limps onto his horse and strides off.
Yeah, like, there's certain parts of his body, like, his blood veins are, exploding in at his body, and he's, like, trying to hold him, and he's, like, grunting a lot. And he's just, like, painfully walking to his horse to ride off. And, like, pretty much during the Souther arc, when he appears again, like, he's pretty much, like, he's watches, like, he would take on Souther, but, like, he's still wounded from the battle with Ken, which, as in the next episode, Ken's able to fight the next villain, so it obviously didn't do anything to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much after that, so with, you want to take over from here?
Where are we?
It's after the battle where, like, Ray's got, like, 3 days to live because he saw the star, and, like, he's gradually getting worse and worse in his health.
Oh, yeah. About this point, like, Mamiya goes off to Medicine City, and because she had heard that there was going to be, like, some medicine that would help Ray, but she ends up getting captured by this guy named Galf. I don't remember much about, like, this point, but... they rescue her, and they find the UD mark on her shoulder. It's, like, tattooed. And it turns out that she was once captured by Yuta, this big, like... I don't know really how to describe him. Like, he's, like...
Prima Donna?
Really, yeah. He's, like, a really muscular prima donna.
He is like a man version of a 16-year-old girl that is obsessed of how they look.
Yes.
I do want to point out, like, the Medicine City is ruled by Gaff or Golf, but, like, the guy has, like, the nastiest-looking, like, pit bull or, like, like, dog. And, like, he lets his dog rule, like, the whole town.
Didn't the dog end up eating him at the end?
Like, I think so, because, like, they chained, what was it, like, everyone has, like, dog collars on them, and, like, when they capture Mamiya, they put her on that pole of that cross, and they start, like, playing horseshoes, like, throwing, like, big dog collars with, like, spikes embedded inside of it, so it'll make her stick to it, and, like, I think the dog was gonna eat her, and then, like, Ken and Ray show up, and, you know, obviously they do all the work, and I think the dog did eat the master. Yeah, that was kind of weird, because he's just like, you should have put... I think some guy was like, why is he next to that ugly dog? He's like, how dare you talk to my dog like that? And, like, he wants them to, like, lick, like, eat their food off the ground and stuff. I think so. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
But, Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say that, like, they have the backstory about how she was captured by Yuta. It's like, it was on her, I think, like, 20th birthday or, like, 18th.
Yeah.
It was her birthday, and, like, he comes striding into town. He's like, hey, I want a woman. You look good. I'm going to take you. And then her parents are like, don't take her. And then, like, he just, like, slashes them, and they don't even have time to react before they just, like, slice open. And she's just traumatized as he's taking her out of the city. And she comes back, like, about a few days later, and she's
It was, like, a week later she comes back, and she is, like, she's got the look of, like, I have been through utter hell, and that has stuck with her to this day.
Yeah, it's, like, I think the wording they used was that she threw away her womanhood.
Right.
Yeah.
She was being raped by demons for several days.
What? I don't know that. Like, I think it was just, like, I don't know how, I don't know what Yuta did to Mamiya, but I mean, like, she was never the same after that, which I guess we would have to assume it was, like, more than likely, like, rape and physical and verbal abuse.
Now, I'm not really sure, like, Yuta himself would have raped her, but he's too girly.
Is this one of these things that they never, like, explain what happened, like Brock and Professor Ivy and Pokemon, that kind of thing?
Yeah. It's like that. Well, the thing about this was, like, we get introduced to, like, Mamiya because he's got, like, a whole harem of women that are there. He uses them as a comparison tool of, like, I must be prettier than every person in this lineup. And then the one girl's looking at him, and he's just like, why are you looking at me? I didn't tell you to look at me. And he calls his guards to take her away, which I guess they go and kill her. But
Ray reveals that Yuta is one of the six sacred fists of the South Star.
Yeah, he's one of the Nanto generals.
Which Ray was also one of them in Shin before him.
Right.
So they decide to head off to Yuta's castle, and you can go ahead with this one.
Okay, I actually, like, I know they went to the castle to try to find him, and there was an episode where it was, like, a decoy, because apparently there was an episode where, like, they meet up with a bunch of kids.
Oh, yeah, and there was that guy that's dressed up like Yuta.
Yeah, I've heard there was an imposter episode. It's funny because I actually didn't watch that episode because I fell asleep through it. No, like, it was like 1:30 in the morning, and like I'm like halfway dozing off, and I'm like, stay awake. It's almost over, and I kept waking up to like certain bits. So, like, okay, they haven't fought Yuna yet. Okay, and then I'm like, ah. And then I remember like waking up to like the ending theme blasting, and then like I think my mom came in there telling me to turn the TV down at like 1:40 in the morning because I didn't realize how loud it was. And then I saw the next episode preview, and I was just like, they didn't find Yuna in this town, but Yuda's at the other town. Stay tuned. I'm like, all right, well, that episode's not important. And I went back to sleep.
That's like the ending of a Mario level, like the princess is in another castle, you know?
But it's really like to that concept or that context, it's like you're playing a Mario level and you fall asleep through it.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you're able to beat the level only to wake up to find that she's in a different castle, and you're like, all right, save the game and turn it off and go to bed.
You're such an expert at playing it that you can do it in your sleep.
I actually did that once when I was playing Sonic Rush. There's one level where I managed to beat it. Like, I fell asleep in the middle of the level and somehow I finished it.
Is that how low the Sonic franchise has gotten?
Yes. I basically fell asleep with my hand, with my thumb on the right, like, on the right D-pad, and it's like, just hold right to win.
There was this, the last Sonic game I played, you couldn't even stop running in it, so I could imagine beating a level on that without even trying, you know?
I thought, like, the cheat video game levels that Nintendo does for the Wii games is bad enough, but if you can fall asleep as you play a video game, then, like, that's just an all-record low there to the video game industry. Like, this game is so awesome, you can just fall asleep and beat it.
Yeah.
Why ever need a cheat code? You can just fall asleep in the middle of the game. But I think that reminds me, I think there was a... I think one of the hosts of Fast Karate was like, he said that he was playing Final Fantasy, like, I think 13. And, like, he said that during the battle system, he fell asleep in the middle of a battle and woke up. And he was just like, all right, if your game, if you're, like, he says, if your battle system causes someone to fall asleep, then you know it's a bad game. And he's like, that's it. I can't play this game anymore. I was just like, man, I didn't think it was that bad. Yeah, so after like the town, they go back to the village because Yuna's able to take over the village, and I didn't know this about the village, but they had their own dam that held back like a billion gallons of water, which they've never shown or explained in any other episodes before this. So like when they go back to the town, like he captures Mamiya, and then Ray shows up, and then Ray
And he gets Toki to push a pressure point that'll delay the, like, what Rao did to him. And, like, it gives him a bunch of strength, but he also, like, is in incredible pain for, like, the remainder of his life.
It was weird. Like, you would see him in pain and his fingernails, like, literally, like, flip back.
Oh, God, yeah, that was horrible. That was, like, it was, like, even worse than that episode of SpongeBob where Squidward's toenail gets, like, pushed off. Have you ever seen the, like, GIF file of that?
No. I've never seen that.
Is this, like, a recent episode? What is this?
Yeah, yes. There's an episode where, like, Squidward ends up stubbing his toe on, like, a chair, and, like, the chair leg, like, rips off his toenail.
Man.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
It's horrifying.
This is, pretty disturbing.
I've only seen one instance of that actually happen in real life where, like, I remember I was going to church, like, this is about when I was 7, and we're going to church one Sunday, and I remember my dad putting on his socks. I guess he stubbed his toe, like, a day before or so, but as soon as he puts his sock on, his big toenail just came right off.
Whoa.
And, like, I was right there when I saw it. It's just like, wait, I didn't know toenails could do that, or any kind of nails.
Yeah, toenails can get pretty messed up.
Yeah, I linked the GIF file.
Okay. What the? It's still kind of loading, but, like...
Yeah, mine is still loading. Do they, like, play it for laughs, like, when Peter, like, messes up his leg on Family Guy, or...?
Yeah.
Dude!
Yeah,
my gosh!
Like, laughs. It's pretty terrible.
What did they rate this episode?
Probably just, like, TVY.
Ugh. Those poor children.
Dude, like, they're moving a couch or something, and, like, the chair leg is rubbing against his toenail, and then SpongeBob takes it off and rips off the toenail, nerve endings and all. Yeah. And then the chair lands right back where the toenail was. I didn't think squids had toes or toenails.
I don't think they do.
Dude, that is messed up, man.
Ugh.
I didn't think the show got that bad.
Oh, Jesus.
It's gotten pretty bad.
Wasn't this the channel that got, like, got all on Ren and Stimpy for having some scene where someone gets beat up? This is just as disturbing as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like Ren and Stimpy quality. I don't even sure Ren and Stimpy would even touch that.
Well, maybe on Adult Cartoon Party. But probably not on
the or whenever ones. When Ren and Stimpy came back on Spike TV, it was like way terrible.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They have that season at the DVD store here. I don't know if I want to watch it. I hear it's really terrible.
I know that Stripperella was on Netflix for a while, and I saw a couple episodes of that. That is a stupid show.
Is Stanley isn't he in that? Is Stanley actually in that, or did he just make it?
I thought both.
Oh, okay. And then isn't the main character like Pamela Anderson or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, Stripperella was like just Stanley's excuse to see Pamela Anderson every day in the recording booth.
Yeah. I think that's one of those Stanley vanity projects, like when he said he was going to make a cartoon with Ringo from the Beatles, you know? He just wants to hang out with famous people.
Yeah.
He's like, I know in real life I can't really do it like I want to, even though I'm already famous enough, but I can just make them and pretend they're real.
Man,
but
can you imagine?
People still pay money for it.
He's in every one of those Marvel movies for like 10 seconds. I imagine he gets like $1 million for each appearance he makes, you know?
He's going to be pretty much doing that till he dies. And then everyone's just like, everyone's not going to watch a Marvel movie the same way again.
I know. I'm going to feel really bad when that guy dies. He's like 95, so it's going to happen soon. But
I thought he was like in his 70s or something.
No, he's old.
Or is he 80?
He was working on comics in this like 40s, so he's been doing it for a long time.
Yep.
Wikipedia says he's 89 years old.
Yeah, that's
90 in December.
The way these celebrities have been dying, he might be next. I don't know.
Hope not. I've never met the guy, even though he always shows up at cons.
I mean, as long as his health is good enough to like go to cons and make appearances and stuff, and you know, talk to fans, that's got to be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing well enough. I mean, he's got, I think they've got like a Stan Lee's Real Life Superhumans or some show like that that's on one of those channels. So he still does work every week and everything.
Yeah, he stays active.
Where were we in the Fist of the North Star? Something about
We're talking about Ray's fingernails, like.
Oh yeah. That dam that you mentioned made me think of the scene in The Postman with that big dam with in the town where Tom Petty is mayor. Have you seen The Postman recently?
I haven't seen The Postman yet.
Oh really? Yeah, I watched that and Waterworld recently, and I think Waterworld is actually, it makes Waterworld seem good.
I've heard it's a great movie, but I still want to check it out. But
yeah, if you like this post-apocalyptic stuff, it's kind of in that mold.
So yeah, like we're left off with obviously Ray gets that power from Tokyo to help him, you know, battle better and to have this, you know, strength to defeat Yuta at the cost of more pain. But so anyways, like when I show up to the town, like Yuta has already got a plan. That like he's got like a trump card to make sure that, because Ray's main technique has always been in the air and having air combat. Which we get a backstory to that, which is why like Yuta hates Ray, because he's just as jealous as a 16-year-old. Because apparently, like at Nanto school one day, like Yuta, like everyone was like, "Oh, Yuta, you're the greatest, you know, you're the best, you're the greatest," and all this stuff, and getting this huge ego boost. And then Ray shows up and does this beautiful swan dive Nanto attack, and everyone's like, "It's so beautiful." And then Yuta's just like, that's the most beautiful tech I've ever seen before in my life. And then he goes inside and pouts and punches a glass, like a mirror. He's just like, I want revenge.
Yeah, he punches the mirror. He takes a shard of glass, like squeezes it till it breaks his hand. And then he takes the blood from his fingers and just smears it on his lips like lipstick.
That's it. Like, you have problems.
Yes.
And he's been that way ever since then. Mm-hmm. But, so anyways, like, Yuta's grand plan is to blow up the dam and have the water flood the town, which the water will cause the ground to get soft and cause quicksand to be formed, which will trap Ray in the sand. So then Yuta could use his ground attacks on him more efficiently.
So, I can't tell if this is, like, Pokemon or, like,
it's
ground. I don't know. But the whole quicksand thing is, like, this guy's got, like, I mean, he's really planning this out.
Yeah, he took the time to plan this out regarding, like, placing the dynamite on the dam and find the man there. Which, when this happens, like, Ken looks at the situation, he's like, I wonder where that water's coming from. And then he goes to play Detective Kenshiro to go find out where the water is, which we get to a grand how strong Ken really is moment when he gets to the dam. He takes out the guys there, but he finds a way to plug up the dam very well, or well enough, by taking a part of the earth from this big mountain that the dam is part like on the side of. And as he's doing that, he's able to like knock these two guys out of the way because like it's such a massive amount of earth that he's picking up. Cause he just gets his hands and digs in, and it causes like one section of like this mountain to be like torn off, and he's able to just kind of walk it over, like moving a couch, and it just like places right over the crack of the dam, and then that fixes the issue entirely. Well, I thought it was the most amazing thing ever. But so after that, like this obviously causes the. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say like during the whole fight with Yuta and Ray in the water, like Yuta's attacks are like these really, he like slashes the water and the water goes like so fast it cuts Ray's skin.
Right. Yeah, because I think his purpose was he was going to let him bleed slowly.
Yeah.
Or something, or like feel his pain or whatever. And then, like once the water recedes, like then Ray's able to jump into his attack, which his final move was pretty much chopping like right down, like pretty much cutting off Yuta's arms, like from the elbow joint.
Yeah,
not the elbow joint, but the shoulder.
Yeah, but he only gets like halfway down. Like he didn't cut all the way through.
Yeah.
So it's like Yuta's still able to use his arms, which when he uses his arms, like he grabs Ray and like takes his arms out of the shoulders and like takes a deep breath and then jabs it into his stomach. Like, you're not going to kill me. I'm going to kill me.
I'm not sure if it was the stomach or like his lungs or something that he stabbed his fingers into. And then they have that whole chopping or cutting crew, I just died in your arms tonight moment, where like he wanted his final request was to die and raise his arms.
I don't know. That whole scene just seemed really gay to me. Like,
oh yeah, like I can't.
Yuta's going to Ray like, you're the most beautiful man I've ever known. Let me die in your arms.
Is this
and
like
Ray's
some
like okay?
Is this like
he
some Street Fighter 2V stuff?
Just, like blank faced.
What? John?
Is this like some Street Fighter 2V stuff? You know. Everyone on Toon Zone kept comparing that to, they kept saying they were gay in that.
This isn't so, like, hidden as well. But, like, I think I was expecting Ray, like, as soon as Yuta died, he would have shrugged him off and been like, I ain't gay, I'm a man.
To a dead guy.
It's like, huh, why'd that queer want to die in my arms? I didn't ask for that. I'm gay, y'all. I'm just letting you know.
Wait, I think at that point he had a lot more on his mind than like this effeminate guy dying in his arms.
I've got a lot more on my mind than going out as a gay dude or people thinking I'm gay. But no one really brings that up because they're like, hey, in the post-apocalypse, we don't have to worry about the government and the gay marriage ban because there is no government.
Well, Yeah, it's like I'm just suddenly remembering like Ray's first scene was a bunch of guys hitting on him.
And yeah, they thought he was a girl. The desert, the post-apocalypse desert, is a very lonely place. Well, they thought he was a girl, so
yeah.
And I mean, he had that cloth robe on, and you know, hey, could have fooled me. You know, because if I'm looking at like the same sweaty, hot guys all day, and I see someone different, I'm probably going to assume it's a woman. And that's probably due to, like, you know, malnutrition, dehydration, and being in the freaking desert all the time. I'm not going to think so good. we forgot to mention that Ray gets new armor in this. Like, he's able to get surpass the pressure point technique from Toki, and then he's able to get hooked up with, like, this sweet armor. Which is just like an extra shoulder pad, and he looks silvery, but also his hair turns white, so he becomes like Gandalf the White now.
Or like Gandalf the light blue.
Slightly lighter blue color?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. And so when after he defeats Yuta, he starts walking away, and then suddenly, like, his, like, veins start popping.
Yeah.
It's like the...
Oh, go ahead.
No, you
go. I'm going to drink real quick, so finish up.
Okay. So, first his, like, shoulder pops open, and, like, one of the shoulder pads is flying, and it's, like, it falls on the ground, and there's, like, a pool of blood in it. And, like, he goes, like, okay, I guess I'm out, guys. I guess I'm done. And he starts walking away, and Mommy is like, no, don't go. And Ray's like, don't follow me, woman. Go live your life.
Oh.
I gotta go die in a place.
Yeah, like, we didn't really explain, because, like, during the Rao battle, Ray, because when we first meet Ray, he's a complete utter dick to Mommy and everybody, but he's able to become a really cool guy through, like, kindness and being good to others and stuff. And, like, Ray admits, like, on this, like, pretty much when he gets hit, or when he's about to take the blow from Mamiya during the Rao battle, that he has fallen in love with Mamiya. When Mamiya was wanting to get with Ken the whole time. But, so apparently, and the Mamiya was just like, oh, I didn't know that. Wow, I got an admirer now. And I was so hoping that, like, Ray, you know, he's gonna die. And I guess he didn't want her to get her heart broken again. So he's just like, you know, I want to love you. I want to tap that. But, you know, I don't want to leave you broken hearted. I don't want to mess up your life anymore. So, you know, but I figured he was going to kiss her. Like, the moment was there. I was like, come on, dude, just lay one on her lips, man. And he just turns around and walks the other way. And I'm like, oh, dude, don't play that game. Not when you're dying, man.
So we come to the last episode of part two. And it's like, it's another clip show, but this one, like, I'll let this one slide. Cause, like, Ray goes into, like, this cabin.
Yeah.
And, like, he starts flashing back to, like, everything that's been going on in this whole arc, and, like, his past, and he's looking around the room, and he's finding all these, like, pictures and stuff, and, like, mementos that belong to him. Like, so, and with each clip, like, another part of his body starts, like, erupting.
Yeah.
So then we get to the end, and, like, his whole body just, like, explodes in a pool of blood, and, like,
well,
there's just, like,
we don't see the explosion. We just hear the cries of agony the whole time.
Oh,
when
yeah.
Outside the cabin looks on, and then they see the blood coming out of the door.
Yeah, it's like, that just really got to me, like, just...
Yeah.
The blood just coming out, and it's like, and they're all, like, frozen. They don't know what to do, and Ken just takes, like, a torch and just lights, just sets the whole thing on fire, like, I ain't going in there.
Yeah, Ken's just like, alright, well, that's over, let's burn this bitch down. Let's just, like, throw the torch at the thing. Like, I don't know if, like, the cleaning lady showed up and she's like, I'm here to clean. He's like, you are already fired. No, you don't want to go in there. Just go. Here's your insurance pay. Get out. You don't need to clean this. But, that scene kind of reminds me of that movie, The Gilbert, I think it was like what's up with like the Gilbert Grape movie with Leonardo DiCaprio's another challenge kid. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but like the mom in the movie is like 400 pounds overweight, and they try moving her out of the house because it's pretty much like falling apart. And they wind up, because she's so fat, like they decide to do an honorable thing, and like she's about to die anyway, so they decide to burn the house down with her in there. And I guess I don't know if that movie used, probably not, but that kind of plays in with this.
My dad has been trying to watch together. We have that movie on Laserdisc, and my dad has been trying to watch it for like 2 years, but he can't make it through like more than 5 minutes at a time.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I think I saw that. It's What's Eating Gilbert Grape? That was it.
Yeah,
I think that's one of DiCaprio's first movies. It's actually really good. Yeah. I think I saw that when I was like 15 or something. The only thing that caught my interest in that movie was when like the family has to go bail out Leonardo DiCaprio from a prison because he got in trouble or something for being mentally challenged. And so the mom actually gets out of the house, and like they're driving down the road and the car's leaning on one side because she's so fat.
This movie sounds kind of depressing to me. Like, doesn't everybody die?
I just remember some guy in high school, like, I was in middle school, and it's like, dude, the best part of that whole movie was when the fat mom was in the car, and you see a lean on one side, and everyone was laughing. I'm like, I should check out this movie. So I can make fun of the obese. But no, that's actually a really good movie.
Speaking of retarded people, I watched Lawnmower Man, the director's cut on Laserdisc, about a week ago. And that was really good. Have you seen the sequel? I hear the sequel is terrible, but I'm going to watch it anyway.
Wait. Come to think of it, and I'm looking at my DVD collection, I'm pretty sure I've got, like, I bought a DVD copy of, like, the two Lawnmower Man movies in, like, one disc or something. Around on my shelf somewhere. I just got to find it. But I've seen the first one a few times, and I have not seen the second movie. I need to watch that.
Apparently, the second movie is always sent like in the bottom 100 on IMDb because it's so unpopular. But
wow,
I really appreciate that CGI in Lawnmower Man. It's really weird and trippy, and it's primitive, but it's not like Tron CGI. It's better than that.
You know, they try to bring those aspects into the Lawnmower Man Super Nintendo game too. You get to certain parts in the game. Like, it's a side-scroller or, like, a 2D platformer, but then, like, you get to certain ports because you got to collect crap or something, and then you get in there and you, like, zoom around and fly around and get to complete missions and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like the those bonus missions in the Sonic the Hedgehog games.
Uh-huh. So is it, like, I haven't played this game. Is it, like, set inside the virtual world mostly, or is he, like, walking around at the gas station beating people up, or...?
It's not the latter. I don't really know what the plot is. Like, I remember it's like any game back in the 90s where, like, they'll take a simple concept and, like, 2D platform.
Yeah.
2D platform everything. Like, oh, you know, like, Total Recall, that game, that whole movie, it was, like, you know, we want to believe that movie was a 2D platform. So we're going to make that, like, just like that.
I think
Indiana Jones, 2D platform.
They even did a 2D platformer for, Wayne's World, I think, because they
did one on
reviewed
them. They did one on Toy Story too. Like,
yeah.
Toy Story is just a 2D platform of like going through the same repetitive. I could never really play that game. I got tired of it after like 5 minutes, and I was like 10.
A lot of those licensed games, I can't imagine being very good. I mean, they're probably better than modern licensed games, but some of that stuff's really cookie cutter.
You got a point, yeah. Yeah, so anyways, we're pretty much done with the second act of Fist of the North Star.
Yep.
And I guess whenever – I have a lot to say about the third act too. So whenever Josh finishes that, we can definitely tackle that maybe some time from now.
Yeah, about a month. Give me a month. I should be able to get through it.
Yeah, I'm actually – it's funny that like I started this series over a year ago when I got back from Animazement, you know, last year. And I'm now at the fourth arc. Because, like, I can't... It's hard for me. Like, I'll watch these in certain bursts of time whenever I have a break or, like, some time in between I actually sit down and watch it. Because the rest of the time I'm busy with school, so...
Yeah. I only managed to...
Yeah.
I've only seen 5 episodes so far. I need to make it a lot further.
Yeah, I kind of... Well, to me, I kind of feel like this series is kind of best viewed, like, by arc. get through the first arc, take a bit of a break, second arc, bit of a break, that kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of good to go in bursts, or like, because like, the arcs are really like in like there's like two or three things that happen. Like, the third arc is like obviously the Souther arc, and then also the I guess the arc with Toki when Toki and Ralph fight. And, like, you can view that all together.
So, yeah. I have a question. I didn't make it very far, obviously, but when I was watching, it was, like, almost all just him versus Gang, and then one little minor thing would happen that affects the overall plot and in the episode. Does it get more, like, eventful later on, or is...
Yeah.
Dude, it gets so much better later on. Like, I understand the first 23 episodes or 24 episodes are kind of painful to watch, but there's some good entertainment in those first 20 episodes before you fight Shin. Granted, it's all filler and it's dumb, but it's pretty entertaining. But
well, kind of with the first arc, what they did was like in the manga, there was like the first six chapters were like the beginning and the fight with Shin, and then like there was this huge stretch that were like just one-shot adventures. What they did was they moved the fight with Shin to after those, and then threw in like several more filler episodes.
Okay.
Yeah. So with that way you're kind of leading up to, because it's like awesome. Here's all this action, and then forever a bunch of spoiler boring parts, and then the action starts up again, which is like, so it's obviously they incorporated those like filler stuff. Or like the extra side quest, and like was able to join it up. Where like he's got to do all this stuff in order to get to Shin, which makes it better to watch.
Yeah, I actually have read. I did start reading the manga at one point. I read up to like where he defeats Shin, and it just I don't know. It, for some reason, it really feels rushed compared to the anime, obviously. But like it just seems like he walks like he. Leaves the first town, goes and runs into that guy with the seeds, and then like after he goes there, he immediately gets to Shin, and it's like it doesn't feel like there's really any build up. It feels like Shin is just like another thug.
I've actually got like the comic versions of like I think the first seven or eight issues of the comic versions of the Fist of the North Star manga when they put those in comic form 20 some years ago. But I've also got like the first book of the Raging Comics colored version of that, and he pretty much like in the first book he gets right to Shin, and that's only like maybe 80 pages or so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it doesn't really give a sense that like Shin is an incredibly important character to the backstory. Like I don't even think they really in the manga. I don't think they really even showed the like flashback to. Where he fights Ken and gives him the scars. I think that's all just given as like dialogue.
But in the later arcs, there's no like big build up between boss fights or whatever, that kind of thing.
There is a lot of build up, but it's like more like focused.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, I gotta fight this boss, but let's go to five other towns and do all this other random bullcrap before I actually have to get to where I need to be. They don't pull the Inuyasha formula on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, or well, Pokemon, like, you know, where it's like just filler, filler, filler. Here's something that happens. Here's much more filler.
No, it felt after the first arc, it actually it's more focus based because like he gets to Jackie and like 10 episodes. Like it keeps you really in focused. Like the third arc, 20 episodes, and that's him, you know, getting to fight Souther, and then like, you know, Rao coming up from his recovering from his battle, only to go out and fight fight Toki next. And it's easy to watch it that way. Like it's gotten so much better.
Well, I think the next anime that I'm going to watch is I'm going to try to finish Gundam X, because we're going to review that soon, right? Like a few months.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me.
I gotta get started, because, like, December's already coming up fast.
Yeah.
Do we want to push this off until, like, January to do Gundam, to do the next Gundam month?
I don't know. I don't know. What series are we going to do? Is it, like, Wing, X, Turn A, G?
G.
I think we were going, like, G, Wing, X, Turn A.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have all that. I haven't seen G since SVES aired it in like 2003 or whatever. So it's been a long time, and I've seen Wing.
I've got some of the episodes. I've got some of the DVDs to G Gundam, but I'm sure I can go online. I think Crunchyroll might have the whole series on there, so I can just sit down and try to watch it all again.
I've seen Wing a little more recently than that. I think like 2006, 2007. But I don't really want to rewatch Wing. I don't really like it that much compared to some of the others. But I really wanted to rewatch
Wing a few years ago, and that I don't really have that drive to rewatch it again. But I like to do it again regardless.
I might read the manga or
Gundam
something.
Gundam X, I would have to definitely rewatch that and finish it up. And then Turn A, I've never seen it, so
yeah. I've seen two episodes of Turn A, and it's very different from the other ones. It's kind of like very non-technological society, but it's somehow in like the far future, you know. But it's interesting. It's different than the other Tomino stuff, for sure.
Yeah, and then once we get to that Gundam Seed crap, we might also just watch the compilation movies, because I'm not going to watch the series.
Yeah,
no way.
I've seen all of Seed and all of Destiny, but I don't want to watch them again. There's no real point.
I'm just going to watch the compilation movies. I don't care if people were like, no, you need to watch the series because it's better. I'm like, look, those series are pure crap to me. I just want to watch it and get it over with so then I can rant on it.
I'd much rather rewatch through SD Gundam.
Have you seen season 2 of SD Gundam?
I haven't yet.
That did finally get dubbed, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't seen it either. I've only seen the stuff that aired on Toonami. But I wonder if that might make more sense now. I remember they used to have like these Zakus babbling about parallel worlds after the episodes and all this weird
the Zaku hour, yeah.
Yeah. That was, and I remember thinking that was really weird stuff as a kid. Like, why am I getting metaphysics lessons from some little robot? But
dude, it's like Animaniacs, but Gundam version.
Yeah,
Animaniacs taught you something every week.
Yeah,
the only reason I watched SD Gundam was because I was in high school and I was lonely, and Mayor Margaret was super hot. That's all I cared about. She is like the Sarah Palin of the Gundam universe, at least to be a mayor.
So what are we going to do next anyway, next week?
I guess we can talk about Pat Labor, the Pat Labor movie we watched like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, well, okay.
I don't know. I didn't really have a plan. I guess we can kind of goof off this month in September, and then like October we can pick up with a theme month.
Okay. And then what were we going to do? Who's the guy who
did...
We
still have to get around... Wait, you go.
Who's the guy who did Genocyber and Empty Geist? Is it Koichi Ohada?
Oh, that's Ohada. You want to do Koichi Ohada month in October?
I guess, unless we have something else.
Yeah, we need to cover Miyazaki stuff eventually. I guess we can do that in November. Hmm. No, another thing we need to do this month in September is review GoGo 13, Queen Bee.
Yes.
And we can cover another live action movie.
And we also have to get around to like doing a mini review or even an actual review of like Akiba Ranger.
Yeah, I guess we're still, I don't know if we can go ahead and we should just go ahead and record that, and then like we could just put that out individually and then have Steve and Amanda talk about those XL World and Mysterio's Girlfriend X.
So you just want
whenever they get around to want to do that.
You just want to talk about Akiba Ranger right now? Because I can keep recording.
Yeah, I guess I can split this up in two episodes.
Actually, can we talk about it like next time?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we can save it for next week.
Yeah, because so. I'm not really. I still have to rewatch it.
I need to go by the episode summaries online and be like, okay, I now remember kind of what happened, because I've forgotten what that show included or what happened in most of that stuff. So getting a refresher would be... I think if I just watch the last episode with a recap everything, I'll just kind of know what happens.
How many episodes are there? 13?
Yeah.
13. There's also a 14th episode that... What kind of... It's like a stage show. That's getting subbed like next month, I think.
Huh. I have not really seen very much Toku stuff. Would I like appreciate this, or is it like very niche thing?
Yeah, you actually probably would.
Dude, what sold me on this show was the fact that the people in the show got drunk because they thought it would make them better fighters. And it did. And really? That was like, all I needed to know to sell me on this show was to know that that was like the most amazing thing ever.
That reminds me of Jackie Chun from Dragon Ball, when Master Roshi would like put on that wig and get drunk. And that was his fighting style. Yeah. And he like beat Goku.
I haven't seen Dragon Ball in a long time.
Yeah, that was really early Dragon Ball, like the first tournament or two.
Oh yeah, when he was still like still a kid, like when he first enrolled and everything.
Yeah. He's like two feet tall, you know.
Yeah, him and Krillin were the same height, and then like Gohan hit puberty, and Krillin didn't until he was like 40,
yeah,
or something.
Well, and then even then, all he did was get hair. You know, he never got. Really,
he,
all that
like,
tall.
Didn't he get hair and a mustache or something when he married?
Oh, yeah, I think you might be right. 15. I think in GT he might have a mustache. I think you're right.
That was it. Yeah, I remember him having hair, and I thought he had a mustache for sure.
Yeah. Oh man, what was with GT? What a weird thing.
I can't believe I think I saw most of whatever's on Toonami at the time, and I was just like, oh, that's good enough.
I've seen all the episodes except the one that they didn't air. Which was like episode 16 or something.
Oh.
But
I didn't really watch too much of like when they had to go to space and get the Dragon Balls, because like the Red Ribbon Army came back and like launched them all in space for no apparent reason.
Yeah, that
was
really
stupid. Let's spend 40 episodes gathering up all the Dragon Balls and have an adventure about it. And then we get back to Earth and then stuff happens.
Yeah, well, you miss stuff like Trunks cross dressing. That's what was in those episodes.
Oh. Nah, I guess I missed out on those.
He's like getting married to a robot, and he becomes a woman, or he's getting married to like a giant monster that causes earthquakes or something.
What?
I can't remember, but it was really bad. I don't want to rewatch that at all. They're airing it on Nicktoons now for some reason.
I thought they were redoing GT or something.
Are they doing like a GT Kai or something? I don't know. It's the whole show is filler, so you can't really.
You know. I kind of wish like Toei would go back and do like a Kai version of Fist in the North Star, but really like take everything that's important and take all the action and like, because if it did that and covered everything that was the main stuff, they can cram all this into like 52 episodes.
Didn't they do
at least
some
the
sort
first
of,
series?
And what they should also do is like animate. Like, isn't there like the last arc of the manga never got like adapted?
I think you're right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it doesn't cover the whole thing. There's some OVAs later. I don't know if they're what their relationship is.
I know I've got like the new Fist of the North Star on DVD, which I haven't seen that yet. We have to cover that.
I mean, we
can probably cover that after we finish up the regular series 4 years from now.
Do you know what that adapts? Is it like a sequel to the anime or?
I think it was just like a side story or something. I'm not sure.
There's also
I know like they've made. Go ahead.
There's also that other spinoff that's like a prequel, Fist of the Blue Sky.
Oh yeah, that's Fist of the Blue Sky. That's like that predates. Like I've got the first two issues of the manga that I haven't read yet.
Yeah.
Or I've read a little bit of the first one, but yeah, it's like a Kenshiro in the 1930s, like China or something.
Yeah, that might be interesting. I think.
Yeah, I like to check that out. But like, I've watched a couple of the like the movie or the OVAs if they've like done compilations of like the backstories for the characters. Like, there's a manga of like Yuria's backstory, and there's also the anime version of that. I watched the Toki one like last night, and then there's two of them based on Rao, and I think there's one other one.
Doesn't Rao have like his own like? Series.
There's something called Zero.
Yeah, Legends of the Dark King. That was it.
There's something called Zero Legend of Kenshiro. Is that the other thing?
Then
there's two Rao ones. There's one called Legend of Rao, Chapter of Death and Love, and there's one called Legend of Rao, Chapter of Fierce Fight.
Yeah, those are the ones that are like the backstories of like of the off the main series. And then I think Legends of the Dark King also takes place kind of during the series, or like his up and coming to being in power.
What about the live action anime, the live action movie? Have you seen that one?
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Is that funny?
We should cover that sometime.
Man, I really like Gary Daniels. I think he did okay as a Kenshiro, but Sean Penn's in it.
Wait, this is an American movie?
Like the Jaggy. What?
This is an American movie? I thought it was Japanese.
No, it's American.
I just have one question. How would you say it stacks up against G Savior?
Better.
What about
it is entertaining at least.
What about live action Crying Freeman? We got to do that sometime too.
That is actually really good.
Oh really?
We need to cover. Yeah, we need to cover Crying Freeman.
Yeah, we need to do the anime too.
We cover the anime first, and then we should cover like I don't know if I want to do because like the animes of like the OVAs of each of the episodes are based on like each issue of the manga that they did.
Yeah.
And like yeah, those are really good. And then, like, the movie itself is, like, pretty much... They've changed a little bit of stuff there, but it's nothing, like, that drastic to really screw it up. Like, I really enjoy that live-action movie.
Okay.
The ending's a bit ridiculous because, like, there's a shootout at the end, which takes place sort of along the lines of the first end of the first manga. But, it's not Robert Dacascos. It's, what's his real name? It's.
Yeah, let me look up one the of live the actors.
Action. Yeah, hold up. There's all this like empty space of like us trying to find live action Crying Freeman. Mark Dacascos, that's it. Like he apparently, since he's the Crying Freeman in the live action one. Like he's got these guns and like styrofoam like behind these fake rocks, which they look like they're airsoft guns they bought from like an like. It's like they went to one of these like knife shops. Like in like one of those like Indian markets or something, and then like bought the airsoft guns for the movie, and because like when he opens them up, he just like gives his fingers and just tears the plastic off. So like to me in my mind, like the final battle is just one big airsoft battle between all the both gangs. That's the way I look at it.
Intense.
No, like it's literally like he breaks off in like a section of like this temple rock, and there's guns inside there, but they're sealed in plastic, like airsoft guns.
Wow,
it's amazing. We gotta review that series sometime.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to do. I kind of think it's better if we review the obscure stuff before we do the Miyazaki stuff, because that's been covered by so many people, I think.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Miyazaki isn't really that important. Like, I haven't seen all the Miyazaki movies, because it'll be new for me to watch some stuff. I've seen Princess Mononoke like two or three times, and I think that movie's okay. Yeah, I hate to offend you people, but
that's probably the best one. So if you've seen that, it's kind of downhill
that's
from there.
Best one?
I think so. Mm. Yeah. Other people say it's
everyone
Spirited
talks about
Away.
How great Spirited Away is, and I'm like, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, everyone loves that one, but I don't think it's as good as Mononoke. Mononoke is much darker and gorier than all the others. The others are kind of kiddie compared to it.
The only one I really, really want to see is Nausicaa.
Yeah, Nausicaa is kind of similar to Mononoke. It's pretty good. It's not as violent, but...
I think out of all of them, I probably would like Nausicaa more than any of the other ones. I want to see Pocoroso, but everyone's kind of like hit or miss on that one.
That one's not
either
great.
It's one of those like you either really like it or you don't.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of boring, but... Nausicaa has some really cool... that big... I don't know if it's a robot. The big kind of stone giant thing. When I went to the Ghibli Museum in Japan, they had a big replica of that outside in the forest, and you kind of like climb up it. It's real cool. But
really,
yeah,
that's sweet.
Yeah,
I like climbing on rock robots.
I still have to see Kiki's Delivery Service, which I've been putting off for a long time. That's the
I remember catching that on like Disney Channel like 10 years ago. I saw maybe 5 minutes of it and I turned the station. I just did not want to watch it.
It's that bad, huh?
It's just like nothing's happening. I'm like, okay, she's on a broom. I guess this is cool. And I'm like, man, I want to watch like a Rambo movie or see if there's boobs on. And I just like changed the channel.
That doesn't give me much hope.
I don't know. Maybe it is a really fantastic movie, and I just don't know it because I didn't care at that time.
Yeah, well, it's the kind of thing that I would never watch if it weren't for the fact that it was by Miyazaki. There's some things that you give a shot to just because of who it's by. And That's what that's going to be.
I guess that concludes it for this episode. So I think we got enough to talk about for Fist of the North Star. What, it'll be like an hour and 20 minutes recording time?
Hour 15.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Have you seen the Miyazaki Lupin movie?
Oh, the Castle Cagliostro?
Yeah.
I've got it on my need-to-watch VHS shelf. I'm looking right at it. I got the streamlined version of it, though.
I need to
check that out.
That's pretty good, actually. It's like Mononoke, where it's one of the more adult ones. There's like a lot of swearing and stuff in it compared to the other ones.
It's obviously like a more tamer version of like the Lupin series itself. Like I've heard like the Island of Momo was like Fujiko's naked all the time, and like I think they like bang at one point or something. I heard that's like, it's got boobs and guns, and that's all you need to know about and care about in Lupin. And everyone's like, yep.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of screen caps from that, and it looked, there was a lot of nudity in that. But that's the new series, right?
Oh, no, the new series is like the woman named Fujiko or something, and that's supposed to, I think that one's okay, but that's got like, the opening is nothing but her being naked and, like, naked chicks.
Yeah, that's what
just
I was
the opening
about.
Itself. Like, it already shows you what this show's going to have.
Yeah. Well,
I figured it was going to be, like, a Fujiko backstory or something.
Viku said that it was not very good, but the animation looked really good from what I saw, so.
Oh, yeah, the animation looks good, but I don't know. Viku's opinions on stuff is more hit or miss, so.
Yeah. He has to take a very strong opinion about everything.
Yeah.
Either it's like the worst thing ever, or like you're a heretic if you don't like it.
It's like that. He can never find a middle ground on his when he talks about stuff. It's either you have to hate it, or you have to love it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Should we do final remarks?
I guess so.
What have you got, John?
I don't have one. Ron Paul is not running anymore, so I can't use my usual one.
Wait, like he's completely out of it? Like I can't vote for him coming up on November 4th?
Yeah, the Republicans made their nomination, and it was Romney. It was not him, so he's out.
I thought Ron Paul was going to be an independent or like a libertarian or something.
That's what I was hoping, but the Libertarians nominated Gary Johnson, so I guess that's who I have to vote for instead. I don't know.
Yeah, I was looking forward to voting for Ron Paul.
Yeah, I voted for him in the primary back in February, but...
I did. I voted for him back in February, too, for my state.
Yeah, that was our only chance.
Like, he was the lowest in South Carolina, and then, like, Newt Gingrich won South Carolina, but he didn't win any other state.
Yeah,
I don't know why people here like Newt Gingrich. That dude was such a butthole.
It was just his own state, Georgia, and then South Carolina, so that was pretty pathetic.
I thought he just had one state. So.
Ron Paul got last place here, too. I think he only got like 5% or something. Really sad.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Do you have a closing remark?
You are already done listening to this episode.
Okay. Are we going to do a Fist-style next episode preview like we did on the old podcast? Remember that?
Yeah, we probably could. If I still have the audio file,
I can find the audio file for you and send you that again if you don't know where it is.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm gonna get around to editing this thing next week, anyways. So you got a week to give it to me, or whenever I feel like putting this out.
And since we really don't know, I mean, do we know what we're talking about exactly next week?
No, not really. Oh, Pat Labor.
Yeah, we can do Pat Labor.
We're gonna have like Jeff and Andy on for that, right?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. I'll let him know.
Okay, so are we just doing the first movie? They have the second one at the DVD store here, so I could always rent it if you don't have it.
I've got the second one on VHS.
Okay, good.
And it's in English. It's not in Japanese, so I can stream it.
The one that we watched,
in case we wanna...
was dubbed, right?
Yeah, the one we watched on the one I streamed online was dubbed.
Okay, who did it anyway? Was it Bandai Visual, right?
Yeah, that's the Bandai Visual one. Like the box set came from the it's the popular, cool looking Bandai one. Like you can get, I could get the second collector set of the Pat Labor movie for like $8 or $9 on Amazon.
Yeah, and did Bandai Visual do the second one too, or was that someone else?
Do what?
Did Bandai Visual do the dub on the second one too, or was that someone else?
They did the dub on the second one. I'm pretty sure.
And that's what's on your.
I've also got the last Pat Labor movie. The one that's really has like little to no labors in it.
Yeah.
I own it, and I saw it one time. I don't even know what's in that whole movie.
Well, the first one is... I've
forgotten about it.
The first one was pretty different from what I was expecting. It's not like Gundam at all, you know? It's very... it's more characters and stuff, you know?
I like the first Pat Labor movie, too. Like, the second one is very political. I think maybe way more political, but I don't know. It just... Like, apparently from what I read on this Pat Labor website... like this fan site, like the first movie came off like they've written novels off Pat Labor,
yeah.
And the first movie is based on the first novel, and uh-huh. The second movie is based on like the seventh or eighth novel because that brings up the other special unit SUV, not SUV, the lady that works with Goto.
Okay.
Like, that brings up her past because the second one has like her fiance actually that's like behind this terrorist act or something.
Yeah.
Josh, what's your final remark?
I don't really have one.
Yeah. All right, I guess we're done with this.
Okay, turn in next week for Pat Labor. Bye.
Mission complete.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cybernauts Cast. Do you want more of what we got? If so, check us out over at our website at cybernautscast.wordpress.com. If you wish to leave us an email on, well, anything, then shoot one over at cybernautscast@gmail.com. Check us out on iTunes and leave a review, why don't you? We'll see you next week. Same Cybernauts time, same Cybernauts channel.
In the distant year of 1999, machines known as laborers construct man-made islands in Tokyo Bay. But as they start to malfunction, the SV-2 Division 2 is called in to stop the source of the infection, the largest island of all, the Ark. Next time on the Cybernauts Podcast, Pat Labor, the movie.